HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The GOP-led House has approved a Republican resolution to formalize an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. GOP House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer.
Evidence uncovered has shown a very disturbing trend by the Biden family. We've spent months in this investigation accumulating evidence.
President Biden calls it a Republican stunt. More from CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This is a bad look for some number of Americans who'd rather Congress instead fund Ukraine or avoid a government shutdown, which is painful for millions of Americans first. They put that on the to-do list and they have a short period of time to finish it, yet they authorize the impeachment inquiry.
President Biden has met with the families of Americans being held hostage by Hamas. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says the meeting took place at the White House today.
The fact that he took this meeting is a sign of how seriously the White House still takes this, and a signal to Israel and Hamas, of course, that he wants them released and all the other hostages for that matter, and maybe there's a chance for another pause to get them out.
The U.S. Supreme Court agrees to hear a challenge by several January 6th defendants who say prosecutors went too far. CBS's Jan Crawford says the decision could affect hundreds of January 6th defendants, including former President Trump.
They're all facing other charges for January 6th, but this one is under a federal law that prohibits obstructing any official proceeding. It sounds pretty clear, right? I mean, on January 6th, certifying the election, that's an official proceeding. But the defendants say no. That law is talking about people who destroyed documents and records, and it shouldn't apply to us.
The number of cases of lead poisoning in children linked to a snack is climbing. CBS's Alexander Tin.
The number of reported cases of lead poisonings linked to recalled applesauce pouches from the brand Wanabana, as well as Schnucks and Weiss, has now climbed to 125 across 22 different states, according to a new CDC tally. That's up from 52 cases reported earlier this month.
Skygazers have a special treat this overnight. CBS's Allison Keyes explains.
It's the peak of the annual Geminid meteor shower, where you could see as many as two a minute. And Derek Pitts at the Franklin Institute says the best viewing is
any place where the sky is very dark.
That means getting away from glittery skylines. And veteran stargazers say you might want to dress more warmly than you think you need to and bring coffee. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Luke Combs is helping a fan who almost owed him $250,000 for selling unauthorized merchandise. Combs told his lawyers to remove Nicole Harness from the lawsuit. Combs gave the woman, who is disabled, $11,000 as an apology, says he'll start selling his own tumblers on his website and give her the proceeds, and fly Harness and her family to an upcoming concert so he can meet her. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents is reversing course and accepting a deal to trade scaled-back diversity efforts for employee pay raises. Even some regents who opposed the deal voted for it to get workers their raises. Regent Kyle Weatherly voted for the measure, even though he says he opposes it.
This deal, distasteful though it is, in my judgment, and on balance, gives us a better ability to serve not only those students, but all students.
The measure passed on an 11-6 vote. Wisconsin voters may someday choose their candidates for Congress in a very different way. A bipartisan ranked choice voting bill got its first hearing before a state Senate committee on Tuesday. Under ranked choice voting, all candidates for U.S. House and Senate would appear on a primary ballot regardless of their party. The top five candidates would advance to the general election. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks host the Indiana Pacers tonight in Milwaukee. The Pacers have beat the Bucks three out of the last five times the teams have met. Bucks forward Malik Beasley says, in some ways, this Bucks team is still getting to know each other.
I mean, I feel like we've been pretty good overall in the clutch as a new team. You know, it ain't always easy to win games. And you know, I think that's still, we have high expectations, championship and stuff. But, you know, like Coach said last night, we got to win. And, you know, control our situation is better in between the game, first, third, second quarter, to prevent those type of situations. But, you know, we're ready for late game situations if need be.
NFL, the Packers could be short at wide receiver this week when they face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dontavian Wicks told reporters he may have a high ankle sprain. Jaden Reed said to be in the concussion protocol. Matt LaFleur.
I think anytime you have more guys that continue to go out, it's also an opportunity for other guys.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, mostly clear skies and mid-20s with light southwest winds. Quite a bit of sunshine on tap for Thursday, mid-40s in the late day. The winds stay on the light side. More clouds on the way Thursday night into Friday. There could be a little bit of rain, especially Friday night. Right now, it's 22.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. BYUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're coming right to the front lines of history in the making. One of the blockbuster stories I watched this morning while various congressmen got up to debate impeaching Joe Biden. Now, let me give you a little background on that, what I think is going to happen. As we're going on the air right now, I saw these speeches. Apparently, the vote will be imminent. May break while we're on the air. We'll see. Maybe it'll be right after we go off the air. But remember something. Leading up to this, even Comer, the head of the Oversight Committee, said there's no evidence at all that Joe Biden did anything wrong that would warrant impeachment. Mitt Romney said the same thing. And all of the Republicans, even in the present hierarchy, agree. We don't have the votes right now to actually impeach him. So why are they doing it? And what are they doing? The reason they're doing it is very, very simply. It looks like Donald Trump will be their nominee. He's facing 91 felony counts in multiple courts. 91 felony counts in multiple courts. And even if you're not a lawyer, you kind of get the idea that where there's smoke, there's fire. Somebody is under indictment for 91 felonies in multiple courts with multiple judges and multiple prosecutors. Something's up. He also was impeached twice, once for trying to blackmail Ukraine. It's opening up a false investigation of Biden. And he said, I'm not going to send you any even defensive military weapons unless you do it. Sacrificing the Ukrainians. And the second time, he launched an insurrection where at least five people were killed that day. Several more died afterwards. More than 140 Capitol officers had serious injuries. Several were brain damaged. Several retired. This was launched by Donald Trump. He ginned up his crowd to murder his vice president. They said, hang Mike Pence, and they built a gallows, and that gallows was not built that morning. If you look at that gallows, they didn't just whip that together with tools in their trunk. They also went through the halls looking to murder Nancy Pelosi, and some congressmen were still trapped on the floor, and Trump was back in the White House chortling, and when even Kevin McCarthy called him, said, you got to call this off. He said, well, Kevin, maybe they love their country more than you do. He took physical pleasure in the pain of these people. Yeah, he was impeached for that. In the first impeachment for trying to blackmail Ukraine, one Republican senator, Mitt Romney, voted to convict him in the Senate. See, here's the deal. It only takes a majority vote in the Congress, that is the House of Representatives. The whole thing's the Congress, the House of Representatives. But it takes two-thirds in the Senate. Two-thirds of 100 is 67. And nowadays, you're not going to get 67 people agree on anything. Certainly not Republicans. It would have required 17 Republican votes. Or I suppose 16 if you say that we had 51 if you count Sinnemann or Manchin. And he wasn't convicted. But in the second one, the second impeachment, having to do with the insurrection, there were 8 Republicans that did vote. They did vote to convict him and remove him from office. In other words, I think it was 58 senators, but not 67. Voted to remove him. And some of the others said, well, the only reason I'm not going to vote for him, they chickened out, vote to convict him, I should say, is because this was going on right as he left the presidency anyway, and even after he left the presidency. But what it would have done would have barred him from running again, because it would have clearly been based on the insurrection. So they have a flawed candidate. I mean, I'm being gentle about it. I mean, I'm being polite about a flawed candidate, 91 felony counts, 2 successful impeachments, and 8 Republican senators joining the Democrats in the second one saying, get this guy out of here. The guy's damaged goods. The guy's damaged goods. So what they're desperately trying to do is mind brand, link in the public mind, words associated with Trump and associate them with Biden, like the word impeachment. The average person doesn't even think about it at all. And they may think, well, if you're impeached, it must mean everybody in Congress doesn't like you and did something wrong. That's not true. There'll be no Democratic votes for this. But here's what they're trying to do and the way they're going about doing it. The reason that they're doing it is to try to damage Biden in this upcoming election and help their guy who's a criminal. He's crime on the hoof, walking crime scene. Everybody that helps him ends up in jail or pleading guilty. But the way they are doing it is very sneaky. And here's what I'm talking about. George Santos has left the Congress. He can't vote. So their margin is down to, say, 220. George Santos is gone. There's a guy named Johnson in Ohio who's leaving. I don't know if he's left right yet, but he's leaving pretty quick. And then you have Kevin McCarthy leading on December 31st. So they're desperately trying to get it through because it's going to take 218 votes and they only have 2 to spare. And when McCarthy goes and Johnson goes, they're not going to have anything to spare. That's why they're doing it. They also have a problem. There are at least 4 Republicans in New York who were elected on Democratic seats. Joe Biden won one of them by, I think, 14%. And the New York's highest court just ruled just now that they can gerrymander the maps in New York, which will effectively make it almost impossible for Republicans to hold those seats. So if they have any chance of holding them, to say that they impeached Joe Biden, that's not going to be liked. I don't like it. They're not going to like it. The constituents aren't going to like it. So here's the message Mike Johnson is putting out. He's a very sneaky guy. He speaks very softly and weaselly. He doesn't appear violent, but he's a very, very sneaky guy. He says, we're not voting to impeach him. We're just voting to continue the investigation so we can issue subpoenas that will be honored. We don't have the evidence to impeach him right now. Okay, let's hold the phone. They've had tens of thousands of documents. They have grilled everybody connected with Hunter Biden up the wazoo. This is all about Hunter Biden. And it's very, very clear that there is no evidence, and it's not true, that Joe Biden had anything to do financially with any of Hunter Biden's businesses, didn't benefit from it. Hunter Biden's come out and said that. And then there's an added awkward fact. Back in 2019, when Trump was president and they were impeaching him, the Democrats, on Ukraine, here's some of the things that Mike Johnson said. You may have seen a smorgasbord of these things on television. You know, quote, the founding fathers were against, strongly against, one-party impeachment. If there's going to be impeachment, both parties have to be behind it. Also, he said, it's only 11 months to the next election. Why don't the people decide in that election? But he kept on saying that somehow it was a constitutional requirement, which it isn't, that there can't be a one-party impeachment, because in this one, they'll get no Democratic votes. The funny thing he's overlooking is that in the impeachments of Trump, it was bipartisan. Even on the Ukraine thing, even on the Ukraine impeachment, Mitt Romney voted to convict him. In the insurrection impeachment, 8 senators voted to convict him who were Republicans, and many, many Republican congressmen voted to impeach him, the senators, of course, voting to convict him. But it's 11 months to the next election. So Johnson, if you really believe that, of course, he doesn't believe it. He was part of the steal, trying to overthrow the election. He doesn't care about the Constitution, doesn't know the Constitution. Doesn't have a bank account, doesn't believe in the separation of church and state. This guy should not be 2 heartbeats away from the presidency, I'll tell you that. He should not be 2 heartbeats away from the presidency. But the same issues apply that he said then. It's 11 months to the next election. They don't like one-party impeachments, neither do I, so let's not do it this time. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I've got a message for these vulnerable Republicans, and they're not only in New York. Some of them are in California. A couple of them are here in Wisconsin. Now, people like Tiffany and Fitzgerald, Grothman, are in districts. They could be in prison and they get reelected if they were Republicans. It's gerrymandered. But Stile in Janesville is in a district that once was held by Les Aspin. And Gallagher is in a district in Green Bay that was once held by a number of Democrats, including Father Bob Cornell, a friend of mine. And if they think that they're going to vote to impeach Joe Biden and go back and claim, well, it wasn't really to impeach Joe Biden, it was to sort of help the inquiry where we've already said there's no evidence. If that's your line, let's ram it down their throats. Everybody out there who's involved in any races in Wisconsin, if they try that smarmy business, stick it right down their throats. It's thoroughly dishonest. It's injuring the country in the middle of 2 wars. Coming up, you won't believe what the people who resigned from the Republican Youth Advisory Council have said.
Tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Time out.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the Lions. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Oh, thank you so much for this subject, Matt. This is great. I've been watching, and I just can't believe it, but I think we need to put those Republicans on notice that we are watching and recording and paying attention to their activities, to include those who voted not to accept Wisconsin's results, election results, even after the insurrection. Those who were not in office, who were attending the insurrection, and those behaviors, and maybe some of them that were involved in the fraudulent fake electors issue in the state of Wisconsin, those of you, give them a call and say, hey, we're watching, we're recording, and we will definitely be getting the information to the people in those districts, because I think that a lot of people don't still understand. They don't cover it real well in local news of what exactly happened here, because I think most Republicans and independents will not vote for people that the only way they'll win is by lying and cheating and supporting a criminal. So that's my two cents for the day. Thank you very much, Matt. Keep up the great work. Bye.
Yeah, excellent call. And you know something? I want to build on that, and then I'll get to the next caller right now. But more than 150 members of the House of Representatives, all Republicans, voted not to certify Joe Biden. More than 140 of them, I should say. Kevin McCarthy voted not to certify him. I can't think of a single Republican in office right now who is in office back then in Wisconsin who did. They would not vote to certify him. And now they're all high and mighty going, let's impeach him after we said we're not going to certify him. That can't go down. That can't be permitted to stay. Period, end of story. I agree with Gene. Call them up. Say you voted not to certify Joe Biden. Now, some of them weren't in office at the time, like Van Orden. He'll claim, well, I wasn't in office. He would have voted not to certify him anyway. But if Van Orden or any of these people, and they all will, vote to impeach Joe Biden, tell them they're out of here. They don't represent Wisconsin. They represent Republican donors. They represent Trump. And therefore, they represent Putin. Traitors to the United States. Adrian and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Now, in Wisconsin here in our criminal procedure, we have a tool called the preliminary hearing, where when a person first gets charged with a crime, a judge reviews the evidence to make sure there's probable cause to believe that person committed a crime. And if there is no probable cause, the judge dismisses the case. Now, don't they have something similar to that in impeachment proceeding where it will prevent the Republicans from trying to file impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden when they have absolutely no evidence that he did anything wrong?
That's a fascinating question, Adrian. And let me give you the background and the history on that one. Adrian is exactly right. In Wisconsin and most states, there's a thing called a preliminary hearing. So if the DA charges you with murder, they charge you with bank robbery or something, you have a hearing and the judge has to sit. There's no jury. And the prosecutor has to lay out his case, why I can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. The defense doesn't have to put on any evidence, and they very rarely do. The defense is only there to learn from the prosecutor what facts they have on their guy. And a defendant can waive a preliminary hearing, and they frequently do for reasons we don't need to get into. But there is a preliminary hearing if the defendant wants it, and unless the defendant waives it, there will be one. And the prosecutor, but not the defendant, are required to put on some evidence. So Adrian's question is an excellent question. Why don't they have something similar for impeachments? Because there's no evidence against Joe Biden. Mitt Romney said it. James Comer, the chair from Kentucky, a right winger, and the oversight committee said, no, we don't have enough here. This Bacon, that's his name, believe it or not, Representative Bacon of Nebraska, said a Republican, there's no evidence here. The fact is, however, that an impeachment is not a criminal proceeding. If it were a criminal proceeding, there would be some kind of initial showing where the prosecution would have to make a showing. Here, remember, of the Republicans who may vote to impeach him, and it's going on right now. It could happen today. Probably will happen today. 140 of them betrayed the United States by not voting to certify Joe Biden. Now they want to impeach him. They don't believe in the peaceful transfer of power. They do not believe in the peaceful transfer of power. So unfortunately, there is no thing like a preliminary hearing. There's no initial showing. What there is the Constitution. And the Constitution says for high crimes and misdemeanors, that's a term of art from the 19th century, actually the 18th century. And so don't get hung up on it. But basically, it does imply that somehow there's got to be some wrongdoing. But let's look at the history of impeachments. Andrew Johnson, the vice president for Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln is assassinated. Andrew Johnson was basically sympathetic to the South. I forget if he claimed he was a Republican or still a Democrat, but back then he was a segregationist. And when Lincoln was assassinated, Johnson became president of the United States, April of 1965, or 1865. And he was there for 3 years, 1868. What he did was he tried to undo everything that Lincoln had done. He basically withdrew federal troops, let them murder black people, let the Confederates get together and do the Ku Klux Klan. And what he did, they impeached him. Remember, there was an abolitionist Republican Congress. They impeached him. Went to the Senate, and by like one vote, a couple of votes, they didn't get the 2/3. And John Kennedy, in his famous book, Profiles in Courage, puts Johnson's case in there and says that the senators who voted not to convict him were courageous because of the damage it could do to the presidency. And I love John F. Kennedy, but I don't agree with him at all. I would have voted to throw the skunk out. Fortunately, Ulysses Grant got elected in 68 and sent federal troops back into the South and broke up the Ku Klux Klan. So what high crimes and misdemeanors did Andrew Johnson commit? Well, not a criminal offense, but what he did was he tried to reverse the Civil War. That went over real poorly. The next one was Richard Nixon. And he was told by Republicans, we will impeach you and we'll convict you, because the Democrats had 2/3 of the Senate then. They did, 2/3. And some Republicans go along with it. So Nixon chickened out. He resigned and he cut a deal with Gerald Ford to pardon him from any crimes, which were considerable, that he'd done. And that was one thing that cost Ford the presidential election in 1976 against Jimmy Carter. Then you have Bill Clinton. He's impeached. He's not convicted. What's he impeached for? They tried to gin up a sex thing. They were investigating the Whitewater real estate scandal. And this guy, Ken Starr, unethical as heck, starts asking about his sex life. If you asked any of the Congress their sex lives, they would shrivel up and you could smell the sulfur as the devil took them away. Anyway, I don't want to get into this, but no, there's no preliminary hearing, unfortunately. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the Regents are going to do a do-over vote on DEI at 5 p.m. today. It's getting better.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The White House is reacting to the approval by the Republican-controlled House of a formal impeachment inquiry of the president. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
In a statement tonight, President Biden said of Republicans, instead of doing anything to help make Americans' lives better, they're focused on attacking me.
with lies.
Israel says it will not stop attacking Hamas targets in Gaza, says the BBC's Hugo Bachega.
Today we heard from the Israeli foreign minister who said that the war in Gaza is going to continue with or without international support.
The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a challenge by several January 6th defendants who say federal prosecutors went too far. CBS's Jan Crawford says a decision could have wide-ranging ramifications.
Now, if the Supreme Court agrees, that could have a big impact on Trump's election interference case. It could cut two of the four charges against him or potentially delay that trial.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has rejected a petition to directly take up a case looking to end the state's school voucher program. In a decision Wednesday, the court ruled that the case needs to start in the circuit courts before going all the way up to them. Minocqua Brewing Company owner Kirk Bangstedt, who helped bring the lawsuit, says they will continue to move forward in the lower courts. Democrats are looking to enshrine marriage equality in the state constitution. The amendments would remove language in the state constitution that defines marriage as between one man and one woman. It would also make sure that everyone has equal parental rights regardless of their sexual identity. While the legislation would not change anything at the moment, it would kick in if the U.S. Supreme Court overturned their 2015 ruling allowing same-sex marriage nationwide. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Mostly clear skies and mid-20s with light southwest winds. Quite a bit of sunshine on tap for Thursday, mid-40s in the late day. The winds stay on the light side. More clouds on the way Thursday night into Friday. There could be a little bit of rain, especially Friday night. It's 24 at our studios.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's a big vote today. Board of Regents, University of Wisconsin. And the word is they are going to reverse their decision over the weekend on Saturday to turn down the so-called deal with Robin Voss and the Republicans for funding of the university. Let me give you the reasons why. Let me tell you what's at stake. Let me tell you my view. 9-8 is a very, very close vote. There are several of them that have now asked for a revote. One of them is a woman, a regent named Amy Bogost, B-O-G-O-S-T. And on Saturday, she voted against the deal. But now she's voting to have another vote. She's calling to have another vote. When somebody votes against something and they prevail by one vote, and then a few days later they go, I guess I want to vote again. That to me signals a real likelihood that she's going to vote the other way, and then it'll be 9-8 or even maybe more to accept the deal. And that's why I say that this vote at 5 p.m., roughly 5 p.m. today, I think may be different from the vote on Saturday. Now, what's at stake? At stake is about $800 million to the UW, much of it for raises for 35,000 employees of the UW system. There are something like 70 or 80,000 employees of the state statewide, and half of them got raises, but not the UW. That was a disgusting tactic. Even LeMahieu, although he didn't do anything about it, he's the majority leader in the Senate, said, hey, people that shovel the snow, janitors, people that mow the grass, people that repair the boilers and all that, what do they have to do with DEI? It's not fair. And my response is, yeah, it's not fair, Jack. So why don't you do something about it? You're the majority leader. I know what I'd do if I was the majority leader. But maybe he worked behind the scenes. I don't know. In any event, the $800 million would also include the money to build projects around the state for the UW, including Madison's engineering building, which is absolutely essential. Madison has a nationally recognized world-class engineering program. We need engineers. Many of our engineers stay in Wisconsin, and there's no better engineering school to go to. There really is not. It was a no-brainer to begin with. In return, the UW would freeze DEI positions through 2026 and realign, it's called, some of those currently in those positions to other matters. And in other words, nobody loses job. The one thing that I think is problematic, and I'll explain why, is there was an initiative to hire more diverse faculty and staff. Now, there's a very thin line between saying, okay, I'm going to end an initiative to hire more diverse faculty and staff, and then when there's no initiative, subconsciously discriminating against applicants who are minorities, who are very competent. The problem is that left to their own devices, a lot of people have inner prejudices. And if they don't have it right in front of their eyes that they should consider qualified people of all races, they innately and implicitly sometimes do not. That concerns me. Another thing that some people had opposed, but I'm beginning to think it may have some merit, is the UW would agree to admit to the UW system, other than Madison, anybody who graduates in the top 10% of Wisconsin's high school classes. And for Madison, it's anybody who graduates in the upper 5%. Now, let me tell you something. If you take the best high schools in the state, certainly the Milwaukee area, that would be Whitefish Bay, Shorewood, Marquette University High, University School, I think Brookfield East, I mean, there are a whole bunch of them. And then in Madison, Madison West, and there are others, and I'm sure there are great ones around the state I'm less familiar with. If you're in the top 5% in those classes, you're going to get into Madison. But there are many high schools where there's a heavy population of people of lower incomes. They would be first generation college. They have absolutely no encouragement at home to go to college. They have absolutely no preparation for the SAT, the ACT, that kind of thing. But if they're in the top 5% in those schools, they can go to Madison. Top 10%, they can go to UWM. They can go to Stevens Point, go to Eau Claire, La Crosse, Oshkosh, Stevens Point, et cetera. That's one way, frankly, to integrate UW-Madison, not just ethnically, but socioeconomically. I don't care what your high school is. If you're in the top 5%, you go to Madison. Quite frankly, they should put UWM in that category. UWM is a tier one research university. There are thousands of universities in this country, thousands. But there are only 150 that are top tier research, and there are only two in Wisconsin. That's UW-Madison, UWM. But if you can go to any of those, any school in our system, you're going to have a wonderful life and a wonderful career. A couple of other things, and this bothered me a lot. Voss said, he sort of chuckling, he said, "We are not going to give the raises," end quote, "other than through this deal." I'm tired of Republicans threatening wages. They threatened unions to get out of wages, to get out of wage increases. And they were successful with the gerrymandered legislature and Scott Walker. There's Act 10 and Right to Work. And what killed me is Right to Work passed in Michigan and Wisconsin, two auto-producing states, two of the most unionized states in the country. What happened? We were asleep at the switch. They did it to drive down wages. And frankly, drive down safety condition. They don't care. But for this clown to say, we're not going to give the raise, who the hell is he? What do you mean give the raises? The legislature passed the raises and Evers signed the raises. That's conclusive. Having Voss say, I've still got to bless the wages, get out of here. Get out of town. That's why Evers started litigation. He'll go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I think even without this deal, the wages would come through. But the engineering school wouldn't come through. We need the engineering school. And then we have this. They demanded, and as part of the deal, I think the UW will agree, to set up a chair position to focus on conservative political thought, classical economic theory, or classical liberalism. They don't know what they're talking about. This legislature is dull. Absolutely dull. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, if they're talking about, well, we need one guy in the biology department who will oppose evolution and somebody in the medical faculty who want to oversee what surgeries are appropriate, this is crazy. So then they're going, well, no, it just says on conservative political thought. What does that mean? If you are a serious college student, and you're a serious professor, and you're going to take a course in philosophy, political science, political philosophy, economics, we do not want a professor who says, don't read John Maynard Keynes. Don't read him. Don't read what Roosevelt relied on to get us out of the Depression, because that's liberal. But go back to Adam Smith, who wrote in the 18th century, for Pete's sake. And there are several other, Ricardo and others in the 19th century, hold the phone. I have buddies who are economics professors. One buddy who was the chairman of the economics department. You read all of that in the University of Wisconsin system. All of it. You'll read Adam Smith, Ricardo, and the rest of them. You'll read John Maynard Keynes. And then you'll make up your own mind. They want to restrict the reading list. All right, a philosophy course. What's conservative philosophy? Are you going to read Plato and Aristotle? Probably. You can read Nietzsche? Probably. You can read Hegel? No. Jean-Paul Sartre? No. What kind of philosophy is that? Read all of it. See how it built one on the other. This business of trying to dictate the curriculum by people who are intellectually incompetent, not by any means the sharpest knives in the drawer at all, is wrong. They're picking little, they'll say things like, local control, get government out of my life. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't believe in local control. They override everything. They don't believe in privacy. They've taken away a woman's right to privacy. They do not believe in keeping the government out of your life. The biggest handouts have been to companies. They don't believe any of it. But the average people in the base hear these things. They don't know what they mean. So they're going to hear, oh, there's going to be a conservative guy who's going to go in there and only go on conservative thought. You don't know what conservative thought is. You don't know what classical liberalism is. You haven't even heard the term, some of them, before. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. Now, here's the data. Underrepresented minorities in the UW system are, and by that, would be considered African-American, Latino, Asian, and so Native American, is less than 15%, about 14.5%, roughly, of UW students and roughly faculty, or would be in that category. However, there's wide disparity among the categories. With Black students, it's between 2 and 3%. Latino students is far higher. Non-white faculty has gone from 10.8% to 20.2% in the last couple of years, but much of that is hiring people of Asian descent. To talk about underrepresented minorities is intellectually dishonest. People are not conglomerations. They're individuals. They're actually individuals. One of the problems, and here's the problem as I see it, when they got rid of peer review, they got rid of faculty governance, they wanted to get rid of tenure. This is done by people like Walker, who are not intellectually competent, not educationally competent. They don't know what they're talking about. It hurt the university. But what's happening is with the DEI, this is one thing that they should be concentrated on. It's been weaponized in other places like Harvard, University of Pennsylvania, MIT, the Ivy League, basically, a lot of private universities, to exclude Jewish students, to introduce anti-Semitism on the campus by bringing in foreign students from locations that, frankly, are autocratic. They're not democracies, but they also hate Western civilization, and they hate Israel, and they hate Jewish people. They're anti-Semitic. And you're seeing that all over the universities right now. You saw it in Brown just now, where they arrested kids who were shouting against Israel, the shouts of Intifada, genocide the Jews, and all that. I do not want DEI weaponized in Wisconsin in that matter, but I do want good Wisconsin people and other applicants who are of different racial minorities to be able to come here. And what the Republicans have done is taken a broad brush, absolutely intellectually incompetent, trying to screw up the curriculum, try to do this by numbers, and then lump all minorities together. Here's my admonition. Keep out DEI that's weaponized to discriminate against majority people and against Jewish people, but keep it to make people in underrepresented minorities feel welcome and safe in the university. Okay, coming up, Trump is facing a threat, believe it or not, from the Freedom Caucus.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars, workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is a very interesting schism in the Republican Party. I didn't anticipate this, but at some point, Trump is coming down. Might as well be this way as anyway. The Freedom Caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, elects a chair. The present chair had been Scott Perry, who's essentially a criminal from Pennsylvania. He asked Trump for pardon. Trump didn't give him a pardon, but he met with Trump. He was one of the principal organizers of the insurrection. There was a vote to succeed him. And unopposed, there was elected Bob Good of Virginia. Now, I have a very low opinion of Bob Good. I've seen him speak on television. He's a very menacing, uncompromising individual. He was behind the insurrection too. He is as right-wing as anybody in the Congress, anybody. Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, any of them. Utterly irrational on the subject. But there is one characteristic he has that Scott Perry and a lot of the others do not have, and that is this. He doesn't endorse Trump for president. He has endorsed enthusiastically DeSantis for president. Now let's hold the phone on that one. I don't want DeSantis either, of course. But this is a guy, and it's not because he has principles. Let's be clear about that. The guy, I'm not saying he has principles. But here's what he said. He said that DeSantis was more of a, quote, true conservative, end quote, and that Trump had baggage. Baggage. Oh, really? Because of the criminal charges against him. Trump has more baggage than the carousel at General Mitchell Field. Trump walks into a room and two guys with him get indicted. Walks in another room, two other guys have their cell phones seized by the FBI. I mean, this guy is right out of an Inspector Clouseau movie as the bad guy, or Johnny English. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's a funny movie. You know, the bumbling inspector. Guys are getting shot and arrested all over the place. I mean, I don't know why I'm laughing. It's not funny, but it is in a way. So Bob Good somehow figured this out. Now, if and when Trump becomes the nominee, and by the way, let me just do a very side note. In all of the polling that you've read that he's way ahead of DeSantis, way ahead of Nikki Haley, way ahead of this one, that one. The one thing that holds true is when they're asked, if Donald Trump is convicted of a crime by a jury before the election, will you vote for him? Well over 30% of Republicans say no. However I might think of him now, if a jury convicts him of a crime, not a judge, a jury, in other words, not a bench trial, a jury convicts him of a crime, I will not vote for him. And it's all over the 30s. Now, when you have your party's nominee with an ironclad expectation that if he's convicted of a crime, anywhere between, say, call 35% of Republicans won't vote for him, that guy is in real trouble. And let's assume, just for the sake of argument, that he has 91 felony counts against him. That's a real problem. So, Bob Good is for DeSantis because he's allegedly a, quote, true conservative. The funny thing about it is these guys pull the wool over each other's eyes so quick. I mean, it's like blind man's buff. They come and put an eye gag on the guy. Here's the deal. Trump is no more of a Republican than I am. Trump was a Democrat in New York until he ran for president in 2015. His position on choice, fully compliant and to the left of Planned Parenthood. On guns, he was for gun control. You know, on things like support of Israel, he was the honorary grand marshal of the Israel Day Parade in Manhattan. That's a very big deal. This guy was a pure Democrat. He could say, I have some libertarian fantasies, and he had a lot of fantasies. But he was Democrat. So for anybody in the Republican Party to say he's a true conservative, I don't agree with conservatives, but he's not a true conservative. He's for himself. He's on the take. Whoever pays him, Putin pays him. He doesn't love Putin, but he'll pull us out of NATO because Putin paid him. And Putin blackmailed him because he unwisely, in a hotel room in Moscow, Russia, thought that maybe there were no cameras in the room. Somehow the KGB might overlook it. And so they sent some KGB agents, actually prostitutes who were really KGB agents, and he had a good time. And apparently his idea of a good time, it would make the hair on a monkey's back stand straight on end if you saw it. So in any event, there's that. Saudi Arabia, they give money. They gave Jared Kushner $2 billion with a B. His slice of that is over $40 million a year. $40 million a year. And just in fees handling the account. When their trainees murdered our sailors in Iowa about 5 years ago, Trump was president. He went on to defend Saudi Arabia. He said they were just a couple of bad actors. The Crown Prince has assured me that he is very grief-stricken. Have you ever seen the Crown Prince? You think he's grief-stricken? You think when he ordered people to take chainsaws to Khashoggi at the Saudi embassy in Turkey, well, he's still alive, by the way, dismantle them with chainsaws and put them in a bag and send it out of Turkey as a diplomatic pouch. I mean, didn't it smell? Didn't the guy's hand like go, hey, wait a minute, this feels like a leg or half a leg or, you know, whatever. No, this is at least Bob Good didn't endorse him, but Bob Good is no good himself. Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and LeMahieu refuses to get rid of Spindell. I see you on the lines. I see you right there. Do not hang up. Get back to you first thing. First.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles. Those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now, if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News